everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities Podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, Managing Editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's May 2022, and this is episode 286, which is a conversation about the practice of manifesting. Manifesting is gaining quite a bit of popularity, particularly among celebrities, and it's a way in which people bring about the good things they desire by intuitively thinking thoughts of success. Today's guest is Anne Kennedy, who is a contributing writer to the Christian Research Journal and has an MDiv. She's also the author of Nailed It, 365 Readings for Angry or Worn Out People. Anne blogs about current events and theological trends at Preventing Grace on Patheos.com. Anne has written an exclusive feature article for our upcoming print edition of the Christian Research Journal in volume 45, number 1. Anne's article is called Trusting Jesus in a Universe That Doesn't Have Your Back, A Christian Looks at Manifesting. Our subscribers can read her article, but for those who don't subscribe, now is a great time to get a subscription because we are having a very special offer for the months of May and June 2022. For your partnership donation of various amounts, we are offering subscriptions. For a donation of $30, you can get a subscription, which is valued at $33.50. For $55, two subscriptions, $75 donation, three subscriptions. And for your donation of $100 to help us at our fiscal year end, you can get four subscriptions and two hardcover copies of two different books of the best of the Christian Research Journal. So please head on over to equip.org to take advantage of that offer. Anne, it's good to have you on again.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
As I mentioned, Anne has an in-depth feature article in our journal that is the first issue for this year, 2022. It's volume 45, and we're calling that issue 1 and 2 because it's a little bit longer than our normal issues. And so we just wanted to talk about manifesting. Now, when I started looking into manifesting, I did not realize how big it's become, not just a buzzword, but just kind of an ethos, especially among celebrities. And so even, you know, in everyday life, it was interesting. I was in New York a few months ago and I went to a gospel choir brunch. And the songs were all about glorifying God, but before the beginning of one of them, they just started talking about manifesting. You need to go out into the universe. This song is about going out into the universe and speaking out what you want and asking for what you want and your success, which is really weird to hear that right before they sang a song specifically saying God is omnipotent and worthy. So tell us a little bit more about manifesting. What is it and what does it mean to manifest something?
It is becoming the assumption of how people think about the universe and themselves. I also had not heard of manifesting until really in the midst of COVID. I realized I was coming across it everywhere. The people in the time of COVID were manifesting things and talking about it as if, you know, it's a normal thing to do. So it comes from, I think it really entered into popular culture through Oprah in the early 2000s through a book called The Secret. And so basically manifesting is the same thing as the law of attraction. It's where you think about what you want and then you put yourself into the sort of energy field of the universe or vibrational energy field. And whatever it is that you want comes to you when you get into the right kind of space. It's a little bit like a mixture of emotionalism and mind games that you play with yourself in order to get what you want. The law of attraction says if you have a desire and you get into the right space, that thing will come to you. So it's a pretty old, I think, sort of new agey way of thinking about reality, but it is very much in the mainstream now.
Now, speaking of that, you know, people who are practicing manifesting, do they claim that you can manifest anything that you want. I see it a lot in terms of relationships or professional success, but anything else, or is it really related around those things? If I want to manifest, I've seen people say that they wanted to manifest the perfect spouse. So therefore, you know, when they talk to the universe, finally, all these years later, they saw how the universe was bringing them this, the perfect one. Or, you know, different, I hear celebrities talking about manifesting their success in terms of financial or a series that they were on or something like that. So is it anything or is it more specific?
Well, all of the people that I listened to and read for the last long while said that it could be anything, of course, anything that you want. But when you come down to what people are actually saying that they're wanting to have, it usually is very temporal. It's very wealth-oriented and success-oriented and a relationship. Those are the big three. I didn't ever come across anybody saying they wanted to manifest a closer relationship, for instance, with Jesus, or that they wanted to manifest forgiving their enemies or really taking care of the poor. They, you know, there's sort of lip service for giving back or, you know, being a good person. But nobody manifests being a good person. That's not one of the things I ever came across. It's always related to success and wealth and a good relationship. Yeah, those are the big three. And it doesn't matter. It can take a long time or it can be really fast. You should try. Many people say you should practice manifesting on small things. So you should try manifesting a good parking place and, or, you know, having something like a really good cup of coffee or something that's small and physical to build the habit and the confidence to be able to manifest. But again, all those things are very temporal, very this world oriented.
So if it differs on how long it takes to manifest something, is it part of the practice of doing it daily? Like, and I'm not really clear. So is it thinking something that I want, or is it actually saying out loud, you know, hey, universe, I want, you know, $1 million or something like that?
Well, there's different ways you can go about it, but it basically, what's interesting about it is that it comes awfully close up to certain Christian categories. So it definitely borrows from a Christian worldview. So if you want to manifest something, as an example, you want to manifest a relationship with your perfect soulmate, you have to think it. It's the mind that produces whatever gets into the way, the vibrational frequency of the universe in order to get you that thing. But you don't know how to get your mind there. So you examine how you're feeling about something. Your feelings need to align. They give you a clue about where you are in terms of the universe's vibrations. And through your feelings, usually very positive, happy feelings, your mind is affected and goes into the right frequency. And then the universe, which is it doesn't have a personality. It's totally neutral. So the universe doesn't know whether whatever it is you're wanting is good or bad. That's why you have to be really careful, because your negative thoughts and bad feelings will also bring to you whatever it is that you're thinking about or feeling. So if you're not careful, you can manifest bad things. You bring bad things to yourself, like poverty, illness, sadness, being alone, having nothing. You have to get out of that state of being in a bad vibration into a good one. But how do you do that? You have to align your thoughts and feelings together so that they match. And then the universe is sort of like a channel, really, that you get whatever it is that you want. So, but my favorite is Jennifer Aniston, who claims that she manifested friends because she was just in the right emotional, mental, and spiritual space to bring friends about. She was living as if friends was already a thing. And so then it came into being. It's a little bit of a circle, you know. You get, if you have good thoughts and feelings, good things will come to you. If you have bad thoughts and feelings, bad things will come to you. So how do you go from one to the other? And there's a lot of advice out there about how to do that. People have different tricks and ideas, and build the habit kind of videos are plentiful on the internet.
So you talked about, you know, having good or bad thoughts to, because you could manifest something that's negative. Manifestors also talk about resistance. And if you have resistance, it would prevent you from manifesting what you want. So what is that? Is that thinking bad things, or is it resistance plus bad thoughts?
Resistance is a little bit, I think you could sort of liken it to sin or unbelief. If you were trying to look for a category that matched a little bit, it's not sin. You're never sinning in the world of manifesting, but it has this sort of character like that. So there's something about you that you're not paying attention to. That I should interrupt myself. Part of manifesting is that you don't consciously think about the thing that you want all the time. It needs to be in the back of your consciousness, your subconscious. So with resistance, you'll find that there are things in the back of your mind that you're not aware of that are actually blocking the things from coming to you. You don't really know. You probably don't know what they are. So one woman, the person who apparently manifested her ideal husband, took her a long time to do that. And then later, of course, she divorced that person. And so she said that she manifested the divorce as well. I mean, you know, it was time to move on. So I thought that was pretty great. But she said she didn't realize, she hadn't really put herself into the right vibrational frequency, but she didn't know that. And so as she looked around her, she had to examine her life and her heart and her thoughts and really critically examine who she was and how she was living. And when she did that, she discovered that she had the wrong kind of pictures up in her apartment. She had pictures of single people and puppies and, you know, flowers. So she put all those pictures away and put up pictures of happy couples, because the back of her mind was saying to her, you know, you don't really want to be with a person you are happy single. So that was not true. She wasn't happy single. What she was telling the universe was that she was happy that way. You make adjustments then. When you would examine yourself, you discover, oh, I'm living as if I didn't really want this thing. So another one I just watched this morning was, you know, there's things that are sitting in the back of your mind that you're procrastinating about. If you're procrastinating about something, you dread something, that's a good indication that you have resistance. And so you're not going to be able to manifest what you want. You need to deal with those things. So if there's something that you really need to do, you haven't done in a long time, do it. And that opens up the sort of frequency or channel. Another one is if you have had childhood trauma or sadness in your past, you'll be carrying that along with you and you won't be able to manifest what you want. So you need to deal with that. You need to, as some people say, be at peace with everything around you. And that means that there's nothing weighing on your mind. There's no deep sadness. You can't just think that you want a beautiful new couch and get it. It's a whole thing to get yourself into the right state in order to get the new couch. And so of course, some people like Oprah are really good at it and some people are terrible.
You know, identifying resistance in yourself, you know, I know you're kind of, it's not exactly one-to-one, but like how would a Christian, you know, talk about different things. Is there anyone outside of you that you would have to, like, how do you know you have this resistance? You just ask the universe to show you? Or do you say, I'm not realizing I'm having this resistance? And someone might say, well, do you realize you're like this? And that could be preventing you. So is there any time somebody outside of yourself is even helping you see what resistance you might have in your own life?
Oh, yes. I think most people who are into manifesting would be seeing a therapist, would have friends who they would say, you know, what do you think why am I not able to do this and or get what I want? And the friend would sort of think through with them what their life looked like and who they were and help them see that for sure. You know, you can't, it doesn't have to be you by yourself. And that's why it's such a big industry too. So many self-help people are there to just keep mentioning and suggesting things that might be causing resistance for you. And you have to have help. You have to help yourself and you have to have help from gurus and experts and friends and therapists and counselors to get into the right space in order to get what you want.
I want to tell you about a very special promotion that we're having to grow the subscriptions of the Christian Research Journal and get our magazine into more people's hands for Christians to be equipped, as we say in the tagline on our print edition, to be equipped in exercising truth and experiencing life. So we give you all kinds of articles that help you with Christian apologetics and doctrinal discernment, as well as articles that will help you grow in your faith and help you understand your union with Christ even more, including this subject that we're talking about today, about what it means to become older and what the Bible has to say about aging from a biblical perspective. And so here's how you can get a subscription, help us for our fiscal year end, and also to maybe give some subscriptions to friends, your pastor, or family members. And so if you go to this link, equip.org/product/journal offer, that's one word, journal offer, you will go to this landing page that will tell you that you can get a subscription for a gift to the ministry of $30 or more. And normally a subscription, as I mentioned on this podcast, is $33.50. You can get two subscriptions for a gift of $55 or more, three subscriptions for a gift of $75 or more, or four subscriptions for a gift of $100 or more. And you would receive two hardcover books, one copy each from the vault of the Best of the Christian Research Journal. And so we have a book called What is Truth? And another book that's called Whose Ethics, Whose Morals. So for a gift of $100 or more to the Christian Research Institute, you will get four subscriptions and two hardcover books. Plus, all of the subscriptions, as you know, include access to our online exclusive articles that you hear me mention a lot on this podcast. So you would get all the online exclusive articles as well as the print subscription right to your door. So please consider giving a gift to help us for our fiscal year end, as well as spreading out the information for the Christian Research Journal to family and friends, and maybe even church staff members that you attend. It's a really great equipping gift. And so again, the URL is equip.org/product/journal offer. So earlier in the podcast, you mentioned the law of attraction. So could you tell us more about what that is?
Well, if you want to know about the law of attraction, you can read, I always get her name wrong, but I think it's Rhonda Byrne, if I'm saying it correctly. She wrote The Secret, and she claims that from the beginning of time, really, there have been people who just knew how to get what they wanted from the universe. They just attracted to themselves everything they wanted. And she lists people like, well, Jesus is one of those people, but also probably Leonardo da Vinci. And everybody famous basically knew how to attract, knew this secret, which is that good things come if you are in the right space. So the law of attraction is really boiled down to aligning your feelings with your thoughts, or your thoughts with your feelings, either way, and relaxing, putting things on your subconscious, relaxing, being at peace with everything, and then good things come to you. And it's love, peace, all that kind of thing. Eckhart Tolle is another person who talks a lot about the law of attraction, and he has tons and tons of advice about how to get into the right space. He describes the importance of being mindful, being present in the moment, not being thinking about the future or the past, but really opening up your self and your mind to whatever is happening right now. And then that sort of, that space allows for things to sort of flow in. I like The Secret a lot because, I mean, I say that a little bit sarcastically. It's a pretty depressing book, but she describes, you know, the good ways of doing it and bad ways. So if you're attracting things to yourself, bad things, it's really your fault because you're in the wrong space. So for instance, she talks about if you are overweight, it's because you're thinking fat thoughts, basically, is what she says. So you have to stop doing that. And then it's not about exercise or diet. The fat will go away from you if you think thin thoughts and you have thin feelings. So it's a pretty basic, even word of faith kind of idea. Your thoughts, your feelings, your words have power, and the universe gives you whatever it is you're asking for.
I just want to mention to our listeners that a long time ago, we did an in-depth feature article on Eckhart Tolle. And so we will put a link in the show notes that will have the link to where you can go and read our article about his worldview in case you want to dig in a little bit more and find out why it is problematic and not biblical. So besides Jennifer Aniston, what kind of people claim to have manifested what they wanted? I mean, is it, like you said, usually celebrities and famous people are, you know, mentioned as being successful in manifesting, but, you know, can the average person succeed at it?
This is what, I mean, of course, people like Oprah claim that everyone can manifest whatever they want. So everybody that I listened to said, if you just did what they said, you would be like them. You would be rich and successful. But I thought it was interesting that a lot of those people who say that are making money off of the people who they're helping. So they're manifesting really other people's wealth into their own pockets. That's what it felt like to me. But most famous people who manifest things claim that everyone can do it. But it really is the very rich, the very wealthy that seem to get what they want. My favorite was Jim Carrey, who wrote himself a check, a big check, I think for $1 million, before he had any acting jobs at all. And he put a time limit on it. And he said, you know, in a year, I'm going to have made this amount of money. I'm going to be able to cash this check. And a year later, he was able to do that, apparently. And so he describes it. He gets teary. It's a spiritual experience for him to have done that kind of thing, to have brought wealth to himself in that way and success. And I think that's true. A lot of celebrities that you listen to who say that they're manifesting things really describe it as a kind of a spiritual experience. They really wanted to be famous or to work on, to have friends or have a certain house. And they, you know, they put their thoughts out there into the universe. They did all of the things they were supposed to do, and then they got what they wanted. And so they're, you know, there's, it comes with gratitude. You have to be really grateful for what you're manifesting, whatever you get from the universe, and you'd be really grateful for it. But in all of the videos that I watched, I was interested that ordinary people who claim to manifest things either don't set their sights high enough. Maybe they just have really small wants, or they're not good at manifesting, because not everybody who really wants to be rich ever gets rich. And a lot of people want to be healthy and then get sick and die. And all of your good thoughts about your health don't actually, for most people, produce good health. So it feels like a scam, I think, because it is, but it's a kind of a very tragic one, because very wealthy and successful people are all out there saying to the poor, you can be just like me. If you're not just like me, you're doing it wrong. And so it's your fault.
You know, what I find very interesting about manifesting is, no matter who is a proponent of it. They always talk about speaking out what you want, thinking about what you want to the universe. And so I find that fascinating because that sounds so impersonal. I mean, what is the universe? I mean, especially think, okay, if I'm not a religious person and I think the universe is just the product of, you know, evolutionary progress, what exactly is the universe and why would it care about what I wanted at all?
That's what I thought was really interesting, because it's this sort of, in a world that's been science soaked, you know, most people don't think, oh, well, you know, the universe has a personality. And most people would not claim that the universe has, most manifestors would not claim that the universe has a personality. It's impersonal. It is a force, but they talk about it in very anthropomorphic terms. And you are allowed to call the universe God if you want to. The universe is much like God, except that God would be able to read your motivations and desires in a different kind of way. I think this is why the universe is not God for most manifestors. The universe is actually, it doesn't judge you the way that God would. So it is a very spiritual idea, the universe, but without any moral implications, which I think is really important, why people feel free to manifest, because there's no moral conditions on anything that you might want. You are good. It's just that you're doing it wrong if you're not getting what you want.
One of the things that manifestors use is a vision board. Can you explain to us what is a vision board exactly?
I had a hard time with this. I did not understand this for a while. But a vision board is, if you find pictures of things that you want, and it can be sort of generic, like if you just want to be a movie star, you can just put up pictures of famous people or something. But suppose you want a couch, a particular couch. You put the picture of that couch on a board or some pictures of it up somewhere. And then you don't, where you can see it, but you don't stand and look at it for a long time or anything or meditate on it. It's just there in the back of your mind. After a while, that thing will come to you if you don't think about it too much. So, because one of the problems with manifesting is if you think about it all the time, if you try really hard, that itself creates resistance. You're not supposed to try and earn the things that you want or get them. They need to come to you. So there's a certain sort of passive posture that you have to take towards the universe, and then you'll get it. And so a vision board is a practical way to get what you want. And I think Oprah pushed it, although if you watch videos of her now, she says, oh, I don't have to have a vision board because I'm so good at manifesting. And just a picture will come up in my mind and that thing will come to me because I'm just in a good frequency. I've developed that being in a state, so I don't have to try anymore. Yeah, the vision board is just a practical tool, but it really is a generation of people, I think, who loved Oprah and who made vision boards and swear by them for getting what it is that they want.
That's also just fascinating in terms of trying to use yourself to get what you want. So how does the internal logic of manifesting work, and where does it lead to? Because like you said, you have to keep telling yourself positive thoughts, but yet not so overtly, plus get rid of any resistance that you might have. And then also attune yourself to the vibrations of the universe. And I do, after, you know, want to ask you a little bit more about what are the vibrations of the universe? How would you know how to find the vibrations of the universe? But first, you know, what about the internal logic of manifesting itself? Because it seems kind of at once, on one hand, simple, like you just tell yourself these things that you want, but also complicated because if you're not getting what you want, then you're blocking yourself or you're having resistance. So you need all these other people to help you and gurus and so forth.
Well, I think the internal logic of manifesting it, and on the surface, it makes a lot of sense, which I think is why a lot of people do it, because it is basically true that if you're a cheerful, upbeat person who's optimistic, you're going to have a better time in life, and you're probably going to have more opportunities than a person who is really, really downcast, discouraged, depressed, critical, and mean. That person probably won't have as good a time in life, except immediately you can think of examples of how that's not true. You know, there are many, for instance, CEOs of companies who are all the way at the top of their field, but they're really mean and critical and yet very wealthy. So you can just, it kind of immediately comes apart when you think about it for more than a few minutes. But the point is that you not think about it too much. But the internal logic, if you were really going to be trying to manifest things for yourself, relationships or stuff, and you weren't getting them, you really only have yourself to blame. It is not anybody else's fault. And so in a real sense, it feels very, very cruel. It's a cruel karmic system where everybody gets what they deserve, quote, deserve. And it does also really remove you from the right kind of self-examination. You become very self-obsessed and self-focused, but without the real critical eye of, well, maybe I'm not good, or maybe some of the things I want are bad. That there's a distinction made, I think, that would necessarily be made in the minds of those who did this, that everything they want is good, but the way that they're going about getting it is wrong. So sin is sort of recast, or bad things are there, but you would never get to the root of them, I'm saying, if you were going to manifest things. So I think you end up in a really deeply narcissistic, ultimately deeply self-focused place where you're having to examine your feelings all the time. And then probably feeling bad when you weren't feeling the right way that you knew that you were supposed to feel. It's a circle. It's a rat race, really.
So it's interesting. You've mentioned a few times that part of the process, as I was mentioning, is dealing with the vibrations of the universe, tuning those into those. What do manifestors say that the vibrations of the universe are, and how does that help you ultimately manifest what you want? Because the person could be doing the good thoughts and working on their resistance, but if they're not really tuning into the universe's vibrations, will they get what they want?
Well, they might, I guess, accidentally. I mean, there's no real explanation for if you are in a really bad space, feelings, or, you know, thoughts and feelings, and then something good happens to you. There's no explanation of why when that happens, because that does happen. You know, bad people sometimes get good things, but that's not examined. It's some people claim that this is actually science, that there's a frequency, like a tuning fork. If you hit a note, the sound frequencies of that are just like, they say, the frequencies to get a lot of money. And people claim that science is behind this. But I would say that most people I listen to, it sounds like a spiritual thing. And they ultimately don't really think of the universe, quote, as an impersonal force, but really as in a sort of a godlike way where God does give them what they desire because they deserve it. That's, even though nobody says that, that's what it ultimately feels like they're kind of going to. And it is a spiritual consideration. And the more you listen to people, the more you'll end up realizing that they are interacting in some cases with actual spirits and spiritual forces that they probably wouldn't want to interact with if they got to see those beings in person.
So You know, if you don't receive what you want, and you have been doing this practice and following the advice of all these different manifesting gurus, you know, whose fault is it that you're not successful? Like you said, that there are some people that are successful and wealthy and don't have a reputation of being nice. I know there's all those stories out there about the late Steve Jobs, especially how he treated his oldest daughter. But, you know, if you're not getting what you want, is it because you're not totally tuned into the universe's vibrations, or is it your own fault? Like, you don't understand what your points of resistance and you're not really truly working on them?
I think most people would say, well, it goes both ways, because some people would say, yeah, you're not in the right. You need to change your mindset and be more positive and deal with the resistance that comes up, and then things will happen for you. But then, you know, I listened to somebody over a lot of months, actually, a young man who has had a recurrence of cancer like 3 or 4 times. And he has hashtagged some of his TikTok videos with manifesting, you know, that he's manifesting that in a year he's not going to have cancer anymore. He's, you know, he's going to have his hair back and he's going to be well. And of course, in that case, he and all those around him would say that he did not manifest cancer for himself. It's not his fault. It was sort of the luck of the draw. But if you really investigate, if you go read The Secret, Rhonda Byrne says that he did manifest cancer for himself. If bad things happen, you did bring them about into your own field of vibrations. So for some people, there's a deep commitment to the logic of it, which is that you get what you manifest in every case. So you better do something about that, because otherwise you could die of a horrible disease. I mean, I can't imagine that those people confronted with somebody in a hospital bed would really say that out loud to those people, but I don't know. I mean, they're serious about what they're saying.
How is it different than prayer? Because it seems like some kind of secular version of prayer. Like, in other words, there's not a personal God out there, but there is, quote unquote, the universe. And so even though you're saying these thoughts to yourself, the universe is somehow involved. Otherwise, why would you be speaking these things to yourself? In other words, do they think that it's the power of the person? Or yes, it is the power of some aspect of the universe. So how would you differentiate that between prayer, which is to a being that is outside of yourself, and manifesting, because it seems like they think that the universe is outside of themselves?
I think it is. It's a way of sort of threading the needle between the fact that even atheists know one level or another that there is a greater being than us. We would say God. There are spiritual forces that we cannot actually control. And even when we try really hard, sometimes things go badly. So it's a way of trying to explain the universe without, and that experience of being human, without having to grapple with the idea of a personal God who would have an investment in the moral landscapes of people. So it's a way of explaining that, I think, of explaining things without God. And so prayer, you know, it mimics prayer, because prayer is an act of dependence. And in some sense, it's a kind of passivity. You're saying to God, I can't actually control my circumstances or those of the people I love. I can't do what I wanted to do. I'm sick, or I'm poor, or I don't love my enemy, and I don't know what to do. I need help. The Christian says those things to God in prayer, knowing that a powerful, benevolent, largely, but just God has the desire to hear those prayers and to answer them in particular ways with a particular need. Manifesting sort of mimics that sense of, I don't mean passive as if you don't care, but passive as if in that you can't bring about what you want, you're helpless. And so manifesting recasts the idea of human helplessness by making it about vibrational frequencies and your thoughts and feelings. Because of course, Christians know that to one degree or another, they can have self-control. They can control how they feel about certain things, or they're supposed to control their thoughts and take captive their thoughts for Christ. So it's kind of like that. You take your thoughts and feelings captive, but for the sake of yourself and the things that you want. And you position yourself in not helplessness, but passivity towards the universe. So it's similar, but of course there are crucial differences that make manifesting a bad thing to do. And because I would say, certainly, if you put yourself into the space where you're inviting spiritual forces to hear you and get and put you in the way of giving you what you want, you're beholden to those forces. So I would absolutely believe that some people who claim they've manifested things got those things, but it wasn't because of an impersonal universe. It was because a wicked spiritual force was hearing them and was allowed to give them what they wanted.
Well, one thing I'm wondering is, this sounds really similar, so I wanted to ask you about this, to the Word of Faith movement and their theology of using faith to speak what you want. So is that kind of a version of manifesting? Because Word of Faith teachers and you know, the Christian Research Institute, especially our president, Hank Hanegraaff, has really done a lot of research over this over the years, and that's kind of one of his areas of expertise. Basically, those teachers, for example, like Kenneth Copeland, will say, you know, it's by faith in God, but this is part of your faith. You don't have because you don't ask. So you already have to believe that you have it. And then you say, like, you pray and you say, Lord, thank you for my new house. I believe you have given it to me. I receive it from you. And in Jesus' name, I believe I will get it. So, and you have to think positively that God will help you. And of course, they definitely believe that about illness. You were mentioning a guy that's like his cancer journey that keeps coming back, and he's going to manifest that it's not going to happen. But these kinds of Word of Faith teachers tell you to do the same thing. Lord, you know, I believe that I will be healed. I'm saying these words of faith right now. Jesus, heal me. And so I know I will be completely healed from cancer. And then, you know, they teach, well, you can't be discouraged. You have to just keep praying these things, keep saying with faith that you receive these things that God wants you to have, like a new house or a marriage or, you know, healing.
The Word of Faith movement is the quote Christian version of the law of attraction. You put the word God over it, and you actually spend more time talking about how people who get sick are really to blame for their illness, for not having enough faith. And you really, it's a distinction without a difference. A spiritual exercise in trying to take control where no control is permitted by God. I'm surprised. I was just saying again, you should never trust a Word of Faith or a prosperity preacher who is wearing glasses. You know, why can't you see? Why don't these guys go to the hospital and pray over everybody if they have, if their words can bring about a desired end? Why don't people do that on behalf of others? That's the first big question I always have. It's always totally oriented around the self. And in the prosperity gospel, the Word of Faith movement, it's the same thing. It's oriented around yourself and not around God. And it also assumes that everything that you want is good, rather than questioning that. Maybe some of the stuff that you want isn't good for you. It just removes God from the equation. And so, yeah, I think if you go listen to Joel Osteen and then listen to Oprah, as many people have noticed, there's not really much difference between those two kinds of teachings.
It's really interesting. It's so much of this has really crept into like everyday life. Just for all of us, it's like I do a workout program and it's like every day I have to listen to this guy tell me that I can live my life best life now. I mean, he literally says that. I don't know if he believes in Joel Osteen or whatever, but it was just like, think these thoughts, live your best life. You do you, and you will be happy. You will change yourself. Also, you know, doing this workout will change you. So is any of this compatible really with the actual Christian gospel? Because it sounds really good. I mean, if I even in faith and say it in Jesus' name that I want this new house or car or healing because God's word says I don't have because I don't ask for it. I mean, is that really compatible with what other parts of the Bible talk about and specifically the actual Christian gospel? And this is not a snarky question because there are so many Christians who would say they believe in Jesus and dying on the cross for their sins that actually pray these kinds of prayers.
I do think it's really a critical issue because I've seen coming across more and more Christians who say that they're manifesting things. Like they think there's no contradiction between believing in Jesus and aligning their thoughts with the universe to get more stuff. So that has really shocked me in all of my research. And I would say, no, these two things are absolutely not compatible at all. And the first reason that that is because, first of all, we are to blame when things go wrong, but not for the reasons the manifestors say that we are. It's not because we don't align our thoughts with the universe. It's because we actively sin against God and reject him. And so God in his mercy then does not give us everything that we want as a way of bringing us into a knowledge of our sinfulness and teaching us about who he is and who we are. So you should not assume that all of your desires are good or worthy, that if you were rich, you would be happy. That's not how any of this works. The place of suffering in life is completely avoided for the manifester. And that's a great tragedy because a Christian has to grapple with evil in the world in a real way, with the presence of sin in the human heart, and then ultimately with the cross, where God, Jesus, emptied himself of everything that he had in order to save us. It's totally focused on the other, on God, and a letting go of the self in order to be united with God. And that is taken away. It's not there. Even when people say, well, you're going to be in the present, you're going to empty yourself, they don't mean it in a Christian sense. No, it's not Christian. It denies the gospel. It doesn't deal with human sin. There's no God. There's no Jesus. It's not okay.
Well, finally, on a more personal note, I usually have some fun rapid fire questions, but this one will relate more to the topic. So can you give any of our, give our listeners any of your suggestions to actually have a biblically focused prayer life? Just something that you like to do. Cause I know all of us do when we talked about, you know, spiritual habits earlier in this year, we want to improve on our prayer life and we want to make sure that we are praying the way that the Bible commands us to pray.
First of all, just praying at all is a really good idea. If you're not doing that, you should begin by praying. And I've been saying this to myself and to others, the difference between manifesting or getting what you want from the universe is that in prayer, you ask God for what you don't demand anything. You ask nicely. You say, please, you ask God for what you need. When you have a need, you acknowledge that you have a need, that you're a sinner, and you go to him and you bear your soul and you ask for whatever it is that you want. And some of the things that you want, he will give you. Through COVID, I prayed the Anglican Great Litany two or three times a week, and it put all of my desires and expectations in proper focus over and over again, which is that God is good and I am not good, and yet he loves me and he does give me everything that I need day by day by day. And so I can totally trust him to know me when I don't know myself, and I can trust him to give me what I need without worrying about it at all.
Well, thanks for those insights, Anne, and thanks again for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
You've been listening to episode 286 of the Postmodern Realities podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Journal. And today's guest was Anne Kennedy. We had a discussion about manifesting, and she has written a new article in our upcoming print edition, volume 45, number 1 and 2. And Anne's article about manifesting is called Trusting Jesus in a Universe That Doesn't Have Your Back: A Christian Looks at Manifesting. You can read her article when you subscribe to our journal, or if you're already a subscriber, and you can do that by getting a special offer for May and June we're having for our fiscal year end. Would you help us out with a partnership donation to get yourself a subscription to the Christian Research Journal? Head on over to equip.org.